Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to the 403rd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my more awake than me co-host. There's probably some kind of word for that.
Don't look at me. It's your language. Yeah.
There's probably some word for that, but I keep forgetting that I'm supposed to introduce you guys. This isn't the old style. We have the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Hey, hi.
And then we've also got R Sigma.
Hello.
Oh man. And so welcome to the show. We've got a good show set up for you guys today, but of course, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Of Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with in 2007. And we talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to every Pokemon spin-off game and every other thing that's in the Pokemon franchise.
Except Typing Adventure. I don't think we've covered that one yet.
I don't think we'll ever cover Typing Adventure. Okay, because, like, first of all, it never got a US release. And second of all, it's Typing Adventure.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on, you know? And so, yes. So that is everything that's happening there. Typing Adventure. what a throwback. But yeah, we got a great show. There's a lot of news that happened in the past 2 weeks because we didn't have a normal show last week with horrible audio that I need to get fixed for the future for other projects we're working on here at Puckle. And yeah, so we've got plenty of other things that planned for you guys. I'm excited to be back to a regular show because it feels very good to have a good product to put out there. And so how have you guys been lately?
Oh, quite well. I had my summer vacation. I spent a week in London and I did the Ralts Community Day while I was there, actually. And let me tell you, it's a good place to be for a community day. I caught 13 shiny Ralts, which is my record.
Ooh.
And I also hatched a perfect Ralts. Female, unfortunately, but still good. And then, since I came back, I've just been playing Fire Emblem Awakening. Maybe this is the time I actually finish it.
Yeah, you should finish it. It's a good game. I think that one's actually pretty solid. Fire Emblem Awakening, even though Three Houses is really good, I feel like Fire Emblem Awakening is just like another level of good. I don't know. Fire Emblem's different than Pokemon in that every Pokemon series game up until Sword and Shield, I feel, have kind of built upon each one of them content-wise.
Yeah.
And so, like, you need to play that latest iteration to stay up to date. And with Fire Emblem, it's always been like, hey, we're just going to give you something different. You can keep playing the old one, and it's still relevant.
Yeah.
And, like, Awakening, I think, is just as good as Three Houses, just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Fates probably isn't as good, and let's not even talk about Echoes. Like,
I have no intention of playing Echoes. I do have a copy of Fates somewhere in the house waiting to be played, but I really want, like, I got so into Awakening back when I first got it, then I thought, well, I want to play every game in this franchise, and then I never finished it, but I had already purchased that copy of Fates, so...
Yeah,
I have things to tide me over until I get around to buying Three Houses. So,
yeah, Three Houses, I think, is a really solid game, and it's got a lot of content in it. If you're a fan of the Fire Emblem franchise, I don't know. I thought it was really good in bringing me to different game mechanics from other real-time RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I don't go outside of my comfort zone too often, right? I run a Pokemon podcast. And I really like Fire Emblem ever since the original one that came out in the US. Fire Emblem, I think that's 7?
Yeah.
So so Fire Emblem 7 came out in the West, and like I've always been a big fan. And so like I never typically go out of those comfort zones, but Fire Emblem actually tries to push me out of them very often. And yeah, I think Three Houses was a really good way to do that. Because it has made me open up and be like, oh, this is like a mechanic that they kind of borrowed the inspiration from this franchise. Maybe I should go look into this franchise, you know? Mm. And they added mechanics while still keeping it Fire Emblem.
That's interesting.
Which I really, really liked. Like it still feels Fire Emblem, but they also just added some cool stuff to it. What about you, Sigma? How has your Fire Emblem run been going?
I finished the third route.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, well, the third route was really quick. I got to skip through half of it because it was the there's a third and fourth route, and you get to experience like the same half of that route, and the rest of it's shorter than the rest of them, so it wasn't too much work.
Somebody on Twitter the other day tweeted at me, my personal account, my @TrainerThatch account, and he asked me what we needed to do to make Fire Emblem Underground Champions League happen. and I tweeted back, we need to find a way to make the acronym not sound as bad as it does.
Yeah. Also, you need to make Go not aware of it, because I swear he's going to come back just to punish us for it.
Yeah, he'd come back just to yell at us for starting a separate podcast called Fire Emblem Underground Champions League.
I mean, continue. You probably just do it as like a coffee hour returning, but whatever.
it would be, I feel like, I don't think I could do an entire podcast on it like I can Pokemon.
No, because you can't go week to week.
Comes out like once every like 3 years, maybe. And you get a Fire Emblem game like once every 3 years, and you don't get a lot of news when that happens. Like, I think the news from the announcement of Three Houses coming out in 2017, we didn't get any updates on it until like the middle of like the end of 2018.
Yeah, honestly, if someone wants to listen to a Fire Emblem podcast, they just need to drop in general audio chat whenever a Fire Emblem game is released.
Yeah, right, honestly.
But
honestly,
I mean, if we had the TCG over here, it would be fine, but we don't. So, you know.
That's good. That's true. For myself, I mean, I've been super, but I just haven't been able to sleep. That's why I talked about that. I did play some Fire Emblem this week, though. I'm only done with my first route. I've only gone through it once, and everybody's like, yeah, there's like so many cool things in New Game Plus. And I'm like, man, I really want to experience that. It's like hearing about the Pokemon post game while you're still like on badge 3.
Something I am very familiar with.
That's the way I feel right now. And it's mostly just because like I'm really savoring the Fire Emblem experience. Mm-hmm. And also partially that like I just don't have a ton of time to play video games right now with the way my job has been as of late, and a lot of other things going on in life, and having to like write talks and write D&D sessions. I've been super into D&D lately, though. D&D has been the palate cleanser I've needed for the longest time, and it's just been really good playing D&D with Ryan. Hi Ryan. Also we have to say hi to Mark as well.
Mark
gave me a Torkoal. Because he went to Go Fest last year and he got a Torkoal, and he said, oh, here, have a Torkoal in Pokemon Go. And nice. I was like, oh, that's nice. And then he plays D&D with us as well. So there we go. We said hi. I know Mark's listening, and he complained several times that I don't mention him, but the Ryan joke is just too good to pass up. I think that's about it for what's been going on lately. Let's kick it on over to the news and talk about some of the stuff that is okay to talk about that's not in the topic. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news we have, I mean, this is mostly the Pokemon Go hour right now. And so right now we are in a water festival event in Pokemon Go. I mean, it's just a water festival. I mean, it helps you find water type Pokemon like Kingler and Crawdaunt. They get Crabhammer, and then Shiny Carvana's out and Shiny Barboach is out. Two times Hatch Candy, which is actually really nice, and Half Buddy Candy. With water type Pokemon,
yeah, only
apparently, which is weird, but that's a weird restriction, but okay. And yeah, there's you can give them money for special things now. That's how this works. Welcome to Pokemon Go events, guys. Also in Pokemon Go news, we also got the Jirachi special research out, which sounds like I'm gonna be screwed on, because like I was just like, oh, it came out, because I think it came out on like Wednesday.
I did Wednesday night.
Mm-mm.
It came out like Wednesday, and I'm like, okay, cool. I want to hop on this Jirachi train this weekend. I'll get on the Jirachi train this weekend. And then they turned all of those things off to help you do it faster, which was really weird, because they typically give you like a week or two when that happens.
Mm.
And it's because we're in a water event, so they probably turned a lot of it off. And so let me just read these out for you. So the Jirachi event has six different stages, because that's typically what they are. And so the first one I think is like super easy. You just have to like get new friends or something like that.
Three new friends. We have a document in our Discord if you want to come join us.
You could get like three new friends. Yeah. So jump in the Discord and you can just friend us. Thatch needs new friends as well, because he has a lot of old ones. And then, step two though, you have to like catch three Wismer, which I think is probably the hardest part when things are turned off.
Depends on if you have Feebas candy stored up.
Okay, that's fair. I don't have the Feebas candy stored up, but I have a lot of rare candy that I kind of just sit on.
Yeah.
But you do get a Feebas, you do get to catch a Feebas like as a reward for one of the previous ones in stage one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can evolve Feebas to a Milotic, and then it's the water festival right now, so you could probably get extra candy really fast with a Feebas.
Right.
And then you have to catch 90 Pokemon the Hoenn Pokedex, which hopefully people have done by now. Hopefully. And then stage three, you have to take a snapshot of Loudred, and you get a Snorlax from that. You need to make three great throws in a row, and you need to earn three candies with walking with your buddy, which you're in the water event right now. Just throw a water type in there. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
And then stage four, catch 50 psychic or steel type Pokemon. I'm sure that'll be easy right now during the water event. Power up Pokemon 10 times. Send 10 gifts to friends. The two of those are easy. One of those is much more difficult than the others. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Then you need to battle a gym leader three times, and you get a Cricketune, which is really weird, probably just because of like the singing thing.
Lullabies for Jirachi, I guess.
Yeah, from the movie. And then win against another trainer seven times, and then win five raids. That one's probably going to take the longest. And then stage six, take five snapshots of Steeler psychic type Pokemon, get a Chimico, which is really cool because I don't think I've ever caught a Chimico. And then make three excellent curveball throws and spin Pokestops 7 days in a row. And there you go. And then you get Jirachi. Who would have thunk? That's all there is to it. But Pokemon Go also is celebrating a bunch of stuff in September, which is really weird. You can start hatching unknown from 10 kilometer eggs starting September 2nd.
I need those. I'm happy.
The ULTR and A unknown are hatching out of those, which is really, really weird. Raikou, Entei, and Suicune will be appearing in raids and can be shiny still, obviously. And then Sentret and Gligar shinies are coming out September 2nd to September 9th. September 9th to 16th, Farfetch'd, Tauros, Mr. Mime, and Kangaskhan will be available in 7k eggs and can be shiny, which is really interesting. And Deoxys will be coming to raid battles, which is actually really cool for those of you who got EX raid passes and kept forgetting to go to them. I don't speak from personal experience or anything.
I never get them, so it.
I've gotten two of them, and I have subsequently forgotten to go to both of them. So September 16th to 23rd, Mewtwo will appear as a raid boss and will be available to be shiny. Klink, Patra, and Lillipup will be available as a shiny. So we're starting to get our Gen 5 mons out there by the end of September.
Yeah, Whimsicott is getting closer and closer and closer.
Yeah, that's really, well, I think Gen 5 we're going to get a much longer burn than we did with Gen 4.
Oh yeah.
I think we're going to get something like we did with the Hoenn Dex when it got dropped. But it's going to be much longer because there's far more Pokemon in it. I mean, you're talking like 130 new mons for Gen 3. Now we're talking a little over 150.
Yeah.
Granted, a lot of them are legendaries for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
And also, I mean, Whimsicott is not that far along in the Unova Pokedex, so...
That's true.
Well,
that's
They have Klink coming right away. Klink
coming right away. Yeah, I think there's no rules.
True. And also, ever since Pokemon Go came out, I've been really afraid that Whimsicott, being a cotton plant, is going to be exclusive to some part of the Americas, And if that happens, I'm going to be very, very upset.
I don't want to say it, but I don't think they'll do that mostly because of like some of the negative connotations that could come from that.
Yeah. I know.
Like, there's a history there, and I don't think that they're going to be the type of people that would mess that up.
Hopefully they will realize, since, I mean, it's something that Game Freak might do, but Niantic is based in America, so.
I don't think Niantic would do it. I think Game Freak would do it and then be like, oopsie.
Exactly.
And then go, oops, I don't know what that is.
I mean, even if you look at a Whimsicott. Well, let's talk about something else. Let's be hyped that we can finally get a green Tauros in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, there you go. You get a green Tauros in Pokemon Go. And then I'm sure there's going to be like five people next FuckleCon that try to trade it to me. That happens all the time. People will come up and they'll be like, hey, I have a shiny blah, blah, blah. You should take it. And I'm just like, I'd love to do it, man. But like, I'm trying to get regionals. I gotta do a special trade for a shiny then. And I'm like, my wife wants the shiny though. And so it's a good time. Let's see. So outside of Pokemon Go, I think we can talk about things outside of Pokemon Go finally.
What, you don't want to talk about the community day that's launch weekend for Sword and Shield?
Oh, there is a community. They did announce the next community days. I'm very confused by the times they're doing these. Like, I understood like why they did it this time, because it's cooler typically in the night in the summer. But they're like 11 to 2 all fall. Let's do it. And it's they have won the launch weekend of Sword and Shield. I think that's semi-intentional. Let's be completely honest. Like, that's to be like, hey, let's be Pokemon aware and be like, oh, hey, there's a new Pokemon game, right?
It'll be curious on if it is the Chimchar that everyone expects it to be.
I fully expect it to be Chimchar. Turtwig is, what are the dates for that? I don't have them in front of me, but
I don't know when Turtwig is.
I forget when the rest of them are. Turtwig is this month, and then I don't know who
October
the one is.
October 12th is, we don't know what it is yet. But
I hope it's, I hope they give us like Ghastly or, well,
I want Gibble.
It's already out. Gibble would be nice.
I would Gibble love would Gibble. Nice. I doubt it, but I would love it.
Gibble would be very nice. I do agree with that.
Then Saturday, the 16th of November.
Yep.
And then the last one, which I assume is going to be the redo of all of the ones from this year.
I hope so. I really like that. That was a lot of fun.
December 14th and 15th. So.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really did appreciate that one. So moving away from Pokemon Go, we do have a new TCG set that dropped to the US, Hidden Fates, which is just the shiny cards that are all rotated out now. And which is really unfortunate. I wish they would have done this set like last year.
Yeah.
To give you like shiny versions of the cards to play, because some of those cards are hard to get and you could have like some cool bling in your deck. I don't know. As a person who formerly played the TCG, but not to like a super competitive extent.
There are still like half of them that are standard legal, which makes it even weirder.
Like, yeah.
The Magnemite, Magneton, Magnezone.
It's a weird set.
Quagsire. Quagsire is playable in the set. So
it's a very weird set.
Also, I guess a lot of places it's selling out right now. So good luck finding them.
Because they're really cool cards. I mean,
they are really cool cards.
The art is really cool.
If you open a Charizard, good job, sell that. Or hold on to it and sell it. Just make sure it's safe.
Yes.
The shiny one, not the regular one. The regular one's garbage in the set. But the shiny one's cool.
Yeah. Moving on, though, we also have, that's pretty much everything that's going on, I think. But
V-cards.
It's just TCG cards and Pokemon Go. And there was obviously more news, but that's what we want to talk about with you guys today. So we're not going to talk about all of that right now. Though, if you do want to play the Pokemon Sword and Shield demo before it comes out, I do like that they're making it very accessible and has been traveling, essentially, because they're trying to make up for the fact that they don't want to give you a downloadable demo so that we don't go and data mine it. August 30th to September 2nd is going to be at PAX West. So if you're in Seattle, you can go play the Pokemon Sword and Shield demo. You can also go September 11th to September 15th at the Los Angeles County Fair. And also October 10th to 14th at the State Fair of Texas in Dallas. So there you go. That's pretty cool. You can go play that demo some more, or just play the demo in general. It's an okay demo. It's okay. I think it showed off some cool things, but not a lot of cool things. I think there's more to be shown.
Hopefully you get the cool pins.
Yeah, that's true. But with that, we are going to shift gears and we're kicking on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host and see if Sigma can cross the finish line. with his insane and with Whimsicott's insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means they can only use what's in their heads and tell me what they know and stuff like that. They get five Pokemon questions that they have to answer together as a team. They are in a race to 30 points with their fellow co-host. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to RT Public Store. And today we're actually fairly close because Sigma's got 26 points right now. So He is very close to being able to do that because there's a possible total of 7 points today, because not only do you get five questions, 1 point per question, but you also have a bonus point attached to one of those questions and you have a hint that you can use. But if you get all the questions right without using the hint, you can get a possible total of 7 points. This segment of the show is always brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, where you can pick up some really cool anime-esque art, but they also have some really cool D&D stuff too. I just saw their booth last week. And they had like this really cool, Caroline was wearing this really cool like D20 that was, it was a natural one and it said out of spell slots, need a long rest. And I thought that was fantastic and I am buying that from their store. So thank you to those guys for sponsoring this segment as always. They're just fantastic people.
Yeah.
And so I am going to go ahead though and I'm going to ask you these questions if you are ready.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Question number one. What Pokemon can only get its signature move from events?
Dictini?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure because, yeah.
Victini is depressingly correct. I was also the most flabbergasted by that. Not when I read the trivia question on our Discord server, which if you want to supply trivia questions for this segment, you just go to our Discord server and you can drop them in the trivia channel. But when we were doing the Black Nuzlocke that I need to finish later this week, it's just been a hectic couple of weeks in real life. Later this week, we will finish it, though. I promise. We caught Victini as part of our Black Nuzlocke, though, and I'm just like, cool, when does it learn V-Create? And I like, looked up its learn set, and I'm just like,
never.
The answer is never. Wow. Okay.
You get Searing Shot. I'm sorry.
You get Searing Shot.
I remember how hard it was to get a Victini with V-Create for my gym team at one point.
It is not easy.
I don't even remember if I managed it.
It is not easy. I think that Victini was given away like 3-ish times or something like that, and once, a couple times with V-Create, and like, it typically when it gets V-Create, it also gets Bolt Strike and Fusion Flare.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, there was another time that it got Fusion Flare, Bolt Strike, V-Create,
Glaciate?
And also Glaciate. Yeah, it got Glaciate, which is really funny and weird.
Yeah.
It was just really silly. But yeah, I never understood when they did that with Pokemon like Darkrai as well. Like they gave it Roar of Time and Spatial Rend when they gave it away the first time. It was really weird.
Yeah, it's a weird movie promo thing.
It really is. Moving on, though, to our second question. This one is going to test your alphabet knowledge.
Uh-oh.
What is the only ability that starts with the letter Z?
Oh.
Name an ability with the letter Z.
Okay. So we might start to look for words that start with Z, like zone. Or
like you, huh? I feel like it's one of those weird abilities
possibly
that you don't ever run on the Pokemon that it's on.
I would say that's absolutely true in this case. This Pokemon has an absolutely better moveset with a better ability.
Very hard to remember then. Let's see.
I think it's typically run with Sheer Force.
Sheer Force, huh? Okay.
Oh, it's Zen Mode.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that is a useless ability.
Yeah.
Zen Mode is correct. That is 2 for 2 for you guys. That is, Zen Mode. Nobody uses it. It was such a cool, they made like an entire design for that Darmanitan as well, to like give it Zen Mode, and nobody used it.
It was really bad.
It was really bad, guys. Like, come on, think about it first.
It's like, oh, you have to be under 50% HP, and then you have end up being slower than everything anyway, so you're dead.
You end up being slower, and you end up switching from a physical Pokemon to a special Pokemon, and it's just not worth it, right? Like, I think Zen Mode could just use like a retcon where it's not when you drop below 50%, it's more like kind of like the Hoopa forms type deal. Mm. Like, you can switch it pre-battle, and I feel like Zen Mode would probably see some use then.
I mean, Meloetta has the same problem too. So
yeah,
it was a Gen 5 thing.
Yeah,
Meloetta is one of those Pokemon who would be really good for a playthrough if it wasn't a mythical.
There's a lot of cool Pokemon mythicals that are like that, and that's why I'm so happy with Victini in Black and White, because you could catch it early enough in the game and actually use it as part of a playthrough.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, they did that with Black 2, White 2 too, with the Keldeo.
That's true. But moving on, our third question, as always, is a Pokedex entry. Our Pokedex entry this week is from Pokemon Y. It's Pokemon Y. Pokedex entry reads, it generates ultrasonic waves by violently flapping its wings. After making its prey faint, it melts the prey with acid. Who's that Pokemon?
Wow, some kind of bug, I would say.
I can see it being a bug or like a... Nah, maybe not Crobat.
It is a poison type, though.
I don't think it would be like a Venomoth.
You would think like bug poison from that description. Bug poison with wings, which is Venomoth, but it doesn't sound like Venomoth.
No, Venomoth would be more like a pollen-based thing, I think.
Yeah.
Or dust.
Dustox,
maybe?
That actually sounds very plausible.
Yeah, because I actually like Venomoth, so I don't think it's Venomoth. I think
Dustox is a bit scarier. You're right. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I mean,
or Beautifly. Or would it be a butterfly?
I mean, it could be, but I just don't like Beautifly's Pokedex entries are usually about how pretty it is. So
okay,
I don't know. I'm okay with Dustox. Yeah.
Dustox is incorrect. The answer is, and this might surprise you, Vibrava, however you want to say it.
Oh.
Vibrava.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did think about Flygon with the first part of the Pokedex entry.
Yeah,
but
wing-wise, yeah. It makes sense.
Exactly.
I would not have thought about it with the acid. So. Mm.
Right? I didn't think about it either. That was brought to you by Old Man Top.
A weird one for sure.
All right, so you guys are 2 for 3, but our next question has the potential for 3 points, because we will give you the redemption point here. So there are 7 answers here. You'll get a point for every 3 of them, So if you get 6, you can get 2 points, but if you get all 7, you'll get 3.
Okay.
So what are the names of the Battle Frontier Brains in Pokemon Emerald?
Okay. So there's Greta, who's the dojo person. I think Tucker is one of them. Use the arena.
I'm just gonna nod here because I never played it. So
I think Nolan might be one of them.
That sounds right.
I think he might be Battle Factory. Spencer is the stupid Battle Palace.
Okay.
It's Annabelle who's in Sun and Moon.
Is she? Oh yeah, the one with the gray hair, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Lucy's the one that looks like a Seviper.
Yes.
And Battle Pyramid Brandon.
Wow. I think that's all of them, if they're right.
Yeah.
Are those your final answers?
I think so. I can't think of any more.
That gets you 2 points. The only place you messed up is that Nolan is a member of the Sinnoh Battle Frontier. But the person that replaced him is Norman.
Oh.
Norman, from the Battle Frontier, they both run battle factories in their respective facilities.
Wait, there was a Battle Frontier brain named Norman in Gen 3? Had they run out of names?
I believe so. Let me double check, but I believe it's Norman. Let me double check.
It's your dad.
Maybe I messed up.
Because I think the Battle Factory guy is that weird guy with the
Nolind.
Oh,
never
there's
mind.
A D. Okay.
There's Nolind, and then I think there's Nolin. Let me see. Or if not, I will give it to you. I must have written it down wrong. It was my fault that I wrote.
No,
wrote
I mean, I can totally believe that the translation.
Oh, no, I was thinking Thornton. I'll give you all 7. I'll give you all 7 because you said Nolin instead of Nolind. It's fine. That is all. That's all 3 points.
It's like, I don't care. I got the 2 points I needed.
Yeah, exactly. You got all the points. You got
this is when you got all the point points.
So you guys are at. I guess the answer is you're at 5 for 4 now. And this final question, as always, is about a base stat. What fighting type Pokemon has the worst special attack with a base stat of 20?
Well, we have a hint.
Exactly. Give us a hint, please.
He wears boxing gloves.
Makuhita.
It could be, or I think it might just be Hitmonchan.
Hitmonchan is more likely, you're right. Let's go with that.
Hitmonchan is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Makuhita.
Oh.
The answer is Makuhita. I tried to give it to you.
It was close.
It was way more likely to be Hitmonchan because Gen 1
spreads are weird.
Very lopsided.
Yeah, he had a base special attack of 35. You have to also remember special attack wasn't a stat in Gen 1.
Oh, that's right.
That was a Gen 2 edition.
Exactly.
Doesn't it have like a decent special defense or something weird?
His special defense is 110. Yeah. It's actually really good. Good on you, except that base HP is 50. But yeah, that's
like
so,
70 speed. It's
yeah, it's 76. So it's whatever it is. But yeah, that gives you, I think, 5 points today. So you have 5 points. That pushes Sigma over the edge. So he's at 30 points now, but it also resets our ladder and we give those extra points to Whimsicott. And so now, Whimsicott, you are leading the table with 5 points.
Ooh, the accomplishment.
Everybody else has yet to get on the board.
Good job, Sigma.
But yeah, you can. What are you going to do with your $20 of T public credit?
I don't know yet.
I'm going to Disneyland. That's what you're supposed to say.
I'm thinking a phone case, maybe. We'll see.
But yes, that's it for this week's edition of PokeQuiz. We are going to kick it on over, guys, after this short break to the topic.
And here we are with yet another iTunes review from BZ4591. So thank you. It's titled A Community to Proudly Be a Part of. If you're looking for more Pokemon content, this is the place to be. Puckle releases content weekly, administrating just enough dose to get those through otherwise ordinary Mondays. You can count on Thatch and the gang to entertain you with positive and well-balanced content every time. Each podcast feels as though you're hanging out with longtime friends, bonding over your favorite pastime, Pokemon. Thank you for that. We really appreciate it. And if you want to help out the show, you can just go over to iTunes, drop us a rating, or whatever platform you listen to us on. We really appreciate it. And I hope to hear from you guys in the future through these. So we will catch you on the flip-flop. Let's head to the topic.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be, I don't even know what we're going to title this episode, but it's going to be something, something news dump. Because the past 2 weeks have just been like, I want to call it like they've taken breadcrumbs and they've just kind of like thrown them into the wind. And we got those as news. We picked up the breadcrumbs like little ducks. And so because there's just been a bunch of little stuff that's just been dropped all over the place for Sword and Shield. And This news release cycle is just really weird, and I don't know. I think they're doing it kind of, I don't want to say they're doing it as damage control, but they're definitely being far more cautious, it feels like, with their trailers.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I did notice about all these trailers that I don't know that I've said on the show before, I probably did with the last one, is that they just always seem way too fast.
Oh yeah, you've mentioned.
And you just have to like watch them several times to get every piece of information out of it. I miss the slower trailers where like the Pokemon would stay on the screen for like 10 minutes and I could stare at it. And unfortunately, that's not happening now. They're also really slow in getting it posted to the website after they drop a video, by the way, which I find really weird. I used to just be able to go straight to the website afterwards and like have all the press knowledge. But sometimes I have to wait like a couple hours. But the first thing that came out is Worlds dropped a trailer. They do this every year when there's a new game coming out. And they confirmed double battles are back, so that's cool. Pokemon isn't dead yet. we did keep something, so good on them, because I'm sure they realize double battles are definitely the way to go in their competitive format.
Yep, now they're going to have to show breeding next, but it's fine.
They're going to have to show breeding, and I'm sure breeding's not gone if they're going to pander to the competitive community in this sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
but
they did tell us how to get hidden abilities now, so... We'll see.
They did tell us, but yeah, they have to tell you how to get hidden abilities every generation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like there were ways to get hidden abilities in with the battles we had in Sun and Moon with the, what are they called? SOS battles.
Yeah, there were.
And so they put them in every game. So I'm not worried about it. I think
XY was the last time it was rough.
They never really reveal like, oh, hey, you can do this with breeding now type things. You know what I mean? And like hidden abilities, we had to kind of figure out on our own that you could pass those down.
Yeah.
And,
oh, and times.
Like we figured that out on our own and stuff like that. I think that's fine. And they could leave that hidden because I wouldn't be surprised if stuff like Gigantamaxing was also passable with breeding.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of ability wasn't. I'm almost certain it will be.
Yeah.
There's no way they just lock it to raid battles.
I mean, the second you let it be breedable, then people stop doing raid battles, though. So we'll see.
I think that's okay, though. I think that's okay.
It depends on what they want to push, I think.
I mean, if you're going to try to push hidden abilities in the same way, you could say that as well, right? Yeah. You stop going to hidden grottos once you have a hidden ability, right? And you can breed it.
Well, I mean, that was locked to Dream World, but...
Exactly. The problem is that once you let home connect, you have, for at least a few Pokemon, an automatic way of getting hidden abilities, which is the transfer from the Virtual Console games. So you can't have like hidden abilities very readily available for, like, I don't know, 150 Pokemon and have people go through infinite loops to get, like, say a hidden ability for, I don't know, a Gen 6 Pokemon. It would be weird. Agree with
that. Yeah, but the competitive scene is going to be limited to Galar Pokemon only anyway, so.
True. They always do that. I was thinking, like, for us who play OU and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but Pokemon doesn't care about us.
Yeah.
Pokemon doesn't care about us.
Exactly. Like, I always forget that they don't care about us.
They don't care about single battles for whatever reason. It's fine. I think they should honestly have two side-by-side metas, and I think you'd see singles like definitely start to dominate.
I think so, too. I mean, we do have Battle Stadium we could talk about.
Yeah, let's break this down. There's a lot that happened in this trailer at Worlds, because not only is Whimsicott in, but like we've got just so much other than double battles. On top of that, they show the art for double battles with Dynamaxing, and Dynamaxing helps your partner's Pokemon as well, the partner Pokemon as well, which is really interesting. Yeah,
that's really scary too.
It is really scary. It's just like, here's a 3-turn boost for your entire wall of Pokemon. It's kind of scary.
I think it raises your stat. Like, that's what it.
Yeah,
and that doesn't.
Here's a 3-turn. Yeah, here's
think,
a so. Here's a boost. Here, let's do that. That sounds really well. Honestly, it's probably just as scary as Z moves to an extent. In my opinion.
Except these stat changes are probably permanent as long as it's on the stage.
Yeah.
So that's more scary than Z moves, in my opinion.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like in the double battle competitive scene, which is VGC, everyone has Protect, and everyone always plans to like stall out stuff like Trick Room and Tailwind and stuff like that. So
we do know that the D-Max moves go through the
Protect.
You can't fake out Pokemon that have gone Dynamax either. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Yep. Those are things they've shown.
They shrug that off. It's really weird. they also I really like this trailer in terms of Worlds because it showed off literally just like competitive stuff. It was really cool in that sense because they showed off a couple of new items as well, which is really, really cool. And all of them really help answer like the Intimidate problem, and they help answer just like a lot of problems that have made things difficult in the past. So the first one is called Room Service, which is an item that procs when Trick Room is activated and it lowers your speed.
Nice.
So you get to lower your speed when Trick Room is set. So like you could hold it as like a counter to Trick Room or even use it to help boost your own Trick Room.
It's an interesting one because
it is interesting. I think you'll see play with it in VGC, honestly.
I think it'll depend on if they weaken the 50% barriers or not.
That's true.
Oftentimes, if you're running a Trick Room Pokemon, you're going to have it's going to be bulky enough to where it's able to use those 50% berries and heal up.
I could see the 50% berries not making it in.
I could see them not making it in or being nerfed in some way to like 33% or something.
I could absolutely see them not making it in and it going to potatoes.
Yeah. In that case, then I could see room service being used. But
yeah,
they need to do something about those things first because those things.
Oh, yeah. I kind of see it like as a versatility item for stuff like, say, Mimikyu. Mimikyu has Trick Room, but it has a base speed of what, 80? 90, something like that?
It's like 97.
95 or something. It's like 95. Yeah. 92, it's pretty fast.
Yeah. And I've seen Mimikyu use Trick Room in certain yes. cases. So giving something like Mimikyu the option to either go really, really fast or really, really slow is interesting.
Well, Mimikyu's already losing its favorite item anyway in Z-Crystals.
Exactly.
So,
mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be bulky because it has a free substitute. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that one's actually really interesting. So another item they came out with, which we were talking about. So Sigma and I have been talking. I don't know if we said this ever on air, but like Intimidate's been a huge problem in VGC. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. It doesn't help out the format at all. They announced like two things that help out with this. Ooh. crazy like. So the first one is a new item called Eject Pack, which switch. It's like eject button, but it procs if any of your stats get lowered.
Oh.
And that
so say Intimidate comes in, you get switched out, and then you can go back, you can go into something else,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is Corviknight has a hidden ability, a new hidden ability. It's a new ability called Mirror Armor, which reflects stat affecting attacks as well. So it also reflects stat changes, which is really cool.
Okay, so essentially, even when Lando comes back, he's screwed.
Lando comes back.
Corviknight has to be good, but...
Corviknight has to be good. Well, if it's just Skarmory 2.0, it probably is.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like it'll be okay. Maybe a more offensive Skarmory.
That would be really cool to get an offensive Skarmory.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really cool. There's also a new attack called Breaking Swipe, which lowers the attack of all opponents it hits.
So kind of so physical remember, snarl.
Yeah,
so it's like Drop Kick, but for more than one opponent.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. And then lastly, I think that, the one thing that we haven't mentioned is Weezing's hidden ability was also, or it might not be a hidden ability. It's just a new ability for Weezing. He gets Neutralizing Gas, which neutralizes the ability of every Pokemon on the field with Galarian Weezing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So imagine Moldbreaker, but like on steroids.
Wow. Yeah.
Like the trailer showed a Rotom Wash hydro pumping an Arcanine while a Gastrodon sits on the field. And then the Gastrodon goes back and earth powers the Rotom because it doesn't have Levitate either.
Yep.
That is so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential with that one.
Yeah. My favorite thing is it's the people who haven't really... They're the people that said they're okay with the national decks being cut, but didn't actually realize what that meant. Making memes about it on the internet. Because everybody's like, oh, I can't wait to use Regigigas with Galarian Weezing, or I can't wait to use Slaking with Galarian Weezing. And both these Pokemon haven't been confirmed for Sword and Shield. And I think that's just something, I hope it's a sobering experience.
Yeah.
For those people who are just like, I'm okay with it, and then realize like, oh man, I can't actually think about old Pokemon anymore and get hyped for the game in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which makes me really sad on the inside. Really, really sad.
Should help against Mimikyu as well. Because Mimikyu would be a very scary Pokemon if it didn't have that threat.
Galarian Weezing is a really good counter to Mimikyu too, yes. Actually.
Yeah.
So you know what? Mimikyu, you better be scared. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That trailer just blew me out of the water. It also said we mentioned it before, but you can get your hidden abilities from max raid battles as well. And they're just like, and if you're super lucky, you can get a Pokemon that can Gigantamax with its hidden ability.
That sounds awful.
I'm hoping Gigantamaxing is breedable. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully,
yeah.
I'm hoping it's breedable. If not, it's just gonna be a crapshoot, you know.
It's like, I guess we're not using Gigantamax Fortnite. We just want the mirror.
Yep, that might honestly be the way to go. Who knows? So they also announced that there's gonna be a new online battle system. Like we're killing Global Link, by the way.
Yeah.
We're killing Global.
That
Link.
Came out, I think, early this week, but everyone assumed it Friday when they started telling us what.
Yeah, so they started talking about. Yeah, they started talking about. So home is actually gonna be your new hub for online battles, and it's all going to be taken care of on the cartridge, which is really cool. Or not on the cartridge, but in the game.
Yeah.
So no more Global Link to go have to register for a battle tournament or anything, which is absolutely fantastic. And it holds all of your rankings from Battle Spot onto home. I know you know more about it than I do, Sigma, about the stuff. So I'm going to just like let you go off and like knowledge dump.
Sure. So rental teams are returning from Sun and Moon.
Nice.
Luckily, it's not as awful as last time because you can just search for it on game. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to the website, looking through your team, then finding the QR, scanning the QR, keeping the QR.
No more team. No more global link. It's fantastic.
I love this.
Right. You can also start your online competitions. I don't see any reason to still, but like your friendly competitions online.
Yeah. They're, I agree.
Usually the rules are just aren't strict enough to be worth using.
Yeah. I wish they would let you do more custom stuff. Like they let you do that in Pokemon Battle Revolution. Like you can make custom rule sets.
Yeah, like custom bannings, custom. Yeah.
And if they let you do that for online competitions, I could definitely see that being something that like online communities such as us and other online communities really just take a hold of. Like that's the one barrier of entry that I think they're missing.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Right now, I think it still sets it up like we're an official competition where it's like you mm-hmm. set the number of days and the number of battles you can have per day, and that.
Yep.
You just need so many people to make that work. It's not worth it.
Yep. Exactly.
And, and then Battle Spot is apparently dead because it's being replaced with Battle Stadium. Where you have the option between ranked battle and casual battle. And ranked battle allows you to play single player or single battles or double battles.
Yep.
And they got rid of special, which is weird and unfortunate, but whatever. I don't think too many people play them. Unfortunate for the metronome battles, but oh well.
Yeah.
And no more championship battles because that's just doubles now. So I'm going to guess that you aren't able to use any non-Galarian Pokemon in ranked battle. I think they might have confirmed that, but use a spear.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, to be fair, they're all Galarian though, right? You know what I mean? Like, they're all Galarian.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see how they handle, like, so we know Raichu's in the game. I'm really interested to see if that means Alolan Raichu can be transferred in or not.
The event Pokemon, I want to see.
If a Pokemon's in there, I would like to see all of the forms of that Pokemon also be in there.
I would like to too. I would.
It would be very, very weird if it wasn't. Like, the check is like the Pokedex number. So,
like, even at, like, if it's something weird, like Let's Go Ahead, the trading.
Yeah, Let's Go Ahead and a way to do it. So I assume that might be something that they're at least trying to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Because even Let's Go is just like, Alolan forms are here.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I think it's far less of a headache for them to just throw them in than not to. Because
you say that, but then we could make that argument. It's far less of a headache for them just to put all of the Pokemon in than to not.
Going by what they've been saying, and I'm not saying I buy 100% of what they've been saying, no, because there's actual work going into it, but...
I understand.
But, like, there's not so many Pokemon that have so many alternate forms. I mean, once you've done Rotom, you're halfway through, so...
Oh, yeah, no, if Rotom's in there, I absolutely assume... That because Rotom finally got confirmed.
Oh, I was
God.
So happy when Rotom was confirmed.
I was going to be so upset if Rotom wasn't in the game, but it's like, here's a Rotom phone, here's a Rotom this,
exactly.
Here's a Rotom that.
So it's
and they keep
again.
Doing this every year, and I'm just like, stop. Just stop. And I miss my little buddy.
Rotom's such a good
I miss my little buddy. Decks. If you're going to keep putting him in things, that you better put Rotom in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just hope these games just like kind of go on and like, yeah, it's the one without all the Pokemon in it. Like, I hope that's what happens. But I know that's not what's going to be the case.
I mean, they have to make them good enough that we only partially care.
Yeah. I mean, if the games are good, I'll be okay with that.
With ranking battle?
Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they confirmed that there are going to be different stages based on what type of Pokeballs there are between Pokeball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball that you can rank up to. And they say you're going to get items for doing that, which, you know, in theory sounds really
wait
cool
for
because
it.
We also
wait
know
for
there's
it.
An item. We know there's items like Dynamax Crystals where, yeah, that would be really sweet if they gave those out for ranking up. Unfortunately, the image that
or
they show
caps.
Is... a pearl strand, because in-game money is what you want for playing their rank system. Just why?
I'm hoping that's like a placeholder. I'm hoping they might do a thing where like they used to on Global Link, and they might be just like, hey, if you hit Master Ball rank in this month, you'll get a Dynamax crystal or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they should do. But
that's what they should do. And honestly, going back to where we're talking about, like, oh, people would stop playing raids. I'm like, you know how you get people to keep playing raids?
By adding more
Pokemon to the raids, but whatever. That's just me. If you want people playing raids and you really want this to become like an online ecosystem type game like that.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely ways to do it.
In-game money hasn't been relevant in Pokemon since.
Maybe it will
Excuse you. I had to work really hard to get that really cool outfit at the end of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. So.
I mean, they gave you like $1 million loan to catch
it. It wasn't enough to buy it all. I had to go through the Elite Four with an amulet coin.
Here's what, 50 big nuggets they gave you or something weird like that?
Yeah.
It still wasn't enough to buy the entire outfit.
Oh, right. There were some other things that came out this week as well. There was another trailer that was dropped for GamesCon in the UK.
Germany,
that's what I meant. It was on the UK YouTube channel that I watched it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually shows them going through a town. There are some things that are somewhat impressive. I don't think there was a lot of things that actually really got me excited in that trailer other than like, oh, hey, look, a town. The graphics are slightly different.
You
can sit in chairs again. Yes. And the thing that got me the most hyped, honestly, out of the whole thing was you can see speech without hitting A.
Mm.
I think that was the only thing. It was just like, you know, how some RPGs have like a little bubble where things start to get said.
Yeah.
And, like, you can read that. Yeah, sad feature that got me excited. Like
in Festival Plaza, you mean? Like you step close to a person and they start talking. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's like it's a small quality of life improvement. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to make people more excited by showing off an actual town in the game.
Yeah.
And show people like, hey, we put work into this, and which is nice, yeah. It's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, I'm a Pokemon player and I don't care. You could make the town look like 8-bit pixels for all I care.
We still play those.
Have they ever had to design the back of a building before?
I don't know that they have, honestly.
You go in
probably in Sun and Moon.
No. You go in the back of a building in like Gen 1 to get the Eevee.
Yeah, but you don't have to design what it looks like in the back of
a
building.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you mean because now the camera turns around.
Yeah, you have one view of the entire game. You don't actually have to see what the back of a building
you
looks
had the
like.
Static camera. You've had a static camera until recently. To be fair, the camera's only static in certain areas.
Yeah. Mm.
So in a town, it might still be static.
I wouldn't be surprised if it were still static.
It's probably still static.
And they still didn't have to design the back of a building.
I think they did. They did say specifically that one of the features of the wild area was a movable camera.
Which
so I don't
makes
expect
me a little
it
sad
anywhere
that it,
else.
That's really sad, honestly. I feel like that's such a minor feature to include for an entire game.
It's a minor feature, but it hides a lot of work. Like, as you said, designing the back of every single building, it's a lot of models.
That's true. Other than that, I don't know. Was there anything else that really dropped in the past week? We covered a lot. There was a lot that happened.
I mean, all I know is that Whimsicott is in, and I'm happy.
Yep, Whimsicott's in.
I really didn't expect that.
Quillfish was sadly in.
Quillfish is in, yeah.
That's.
I mean, if that's the prize for having Whimsicott, I'll take Quillfish.
He deserved a Galarian form with an evolution.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He deserved it.
I mean, honestly, like, half of the Gen 2 Pokedex is, like, throwaway stuff that could really use the Zigzagoon treatment, so...
We've seen the Gen 2 beta. He used to have an evolution at one point.
Yeah, it would be really nice to see a lot of Pokemon get... I would like to see more Galarian forms. I do say that. And like the next press release, give me more Galarian forms.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's at least confirm coughing for me, whether or not that's Galarian or not.
That would be interesting.
You know what I mean? That's all I want to know. Let me know if Weezing is if coughing is Galarian or not, or if it's just a regular Weezing. That's all I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know. Like, I'm curious. And then just drop a couple more Galarians that aren't Gen 1. That'd be cool. I feel like a little tainted because they gave us the Obstagoon treatment in the last one, where it's just like, here's Zigzagoon to Linoon. And then, by the way, we didn't think that was good enough, so we made Obstagoon.
So you think, now they've spoiled it. There's not going to be anything as good as that.
I don't know if it's going to be anything good as that. I would like to see, like, quote-unquote more traditional, like, regional forms for mm-hmm. Pokemon outside of Gen 1, right? Like, I would love to see, you know, give me a Gen 4 Pokemon or a Gen 2 Pokemon.
Tropius?
Just, yeah, give Tropius.
Tropius
is a good
with sacks of
just
potatoes instead of
something, but
of
don't give us, just don't give us anything that has, like, a weird, like a weird, I keep forgetting Tropius exists, by the way.
Weird cultural implication.
I mean, we know sacks of potatoes are in the game.
Yeah.
They come from Tropius. It's fine. He's
but yeah, I just want to see like an undisturbed form. You know what I mean? Regional evolutions are a decent idea, and it's a great way to bring back old evolutions that for Pokemon that didn't exist or that needed an evolution and they wanted to add that on, right?
Yeah, but
I think it's really interesting. But my biggest fear is they take something and they just give it a regional evolution without making that Pokemon a regional form. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah,
that is my biggest fear, because then you've literally designed a Pokemon that is meant to be killed off at the end of this game.
Yeah,
and that does not sit well with me. I also want to see Obstagoon's Pokedex number.
Ooh,
I'm very interested to see its National Dex number. Eventually go to Pokemon Home.
I thought, ooh, that's gonna be weird, but actually, no. I mean, they've just
Sylveon.
Exactly. Sylveon is
half of Gen 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. They've done it a million times before. Yeah.
I just want to know what it is. That's all.
let's see. 888.
Probably not.
I think
not
it's
going
to be super low.
No, actually, honestly, not. Yeah. Probably not, because
I think
that's going to be
gonna
like
be
legendary.
Zigzagoon's going to be Rattata.
Yeah, it's going to be really early in the deck.
Oh, yeah. So 888. You're going to be pretty close to the end of the Pokedex.
Yeah.
You're going to be pretty close, because there's only going to be like 100 Pokemon in this game. I like that,
maybe,
too. I'm okay with them always doing like small numbers of Pokemon.
Actually, it would be really cool if 888 was the mythical with the 8 in its design, since it's Gen 8,
it would
888,
be, oh my
and
gosh,
the Magearn equivalent.
Pokemon, I know you. I've known you for a while. and you have a chance to do something. And I know you're going to mess it up. But I implore you not to. Don't do that. But yes, okay. This is a good place to stop. but yeah, that's it for the topic. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you guys with the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip flop.
Well, school's coming up, kids. If you want some cool new swag for, I don't know, back to school season, you can go over to the Puckle Tee Public Store and you can go and grab any kind of designs, whether it just be the Puckle logo so you can represent me and the company that all these people are working for, or maybe you just want something cool like a Pokemon like Dragonite Kanji shirt. It's fantastic. We got everything over there. If not, maybe you want a throw pillow to throw in your apartment if you're going to college. Just some cool artwork to put on your wall. You can just go grab some of the Puckle staff pictures that Basket put up. They're great. I suggest it. Everything you can buy there helps us out in any single way that you can possibly do it. It's a great way to support the show and get something in return. So please go do it. And I will catch you guys on the flip flop.
Pokemon the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 233, Porygon 2, the virtual Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Gold Pokedex entry states, "This upgraded version of Porygon is designed for space exploration. It can't fly, though." So,
it can't fly, though?
The good part is,
is that part of the entry itself?
Yeah, it can fly. And in Platinum, the entry says, "It was upgraded to enable the exploration of other planets. However, it failed to measure up."
Oh my gosh, it just sounds like a horrible, like, failed project.
Yeah, it's like half the space program of the Russian Federation. It's like the poor Martian rover that got lost. It's terrible.
Not to mention the poor thing's moddable Gen 4 onwards.
That makes Porygon Z just like that much sadder.
Exactly. It's like, oh, look, someone tried to fix it and it drove it crazy.
And it made it even worse. Look at that. We did a good job here, guys. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Okay. But Porygon 2 is actually a prime candidate to be on your team for Puckle's upcoming Kanto versus the World Tournament. And because we forgot to say it during the news, I'm going to let Sigma fill in the details.
Yeah, so our fall tournament this year is going to be Kanto versus the World, where either you make up a team completely comprised of Pokemon in Kanto and their Alolan forms, their Megas, whatever, or you get to choose to make a team of from Pokemon of every generation that isn't Kanto. So a Gen 2 Pokemon, a Gen 3 Pokemon, Gen 4 Pokemon, Gen 5 Pokemon, Gen 6, Gen 7. And we do have a couple bannings. Magearna is not fun in this kind of format, so we killed it.
No, it's not. To be fair, it's not fun in the OU format either.
No, but it should have been banned a while ago. Whatever. We weren't letting that be a thing. Also, if you think of Gen 6 Pokemon, there is only one that people would pick. So we banned Greninja. It's yes. A true statement. And if you move past that, everyone takes a Tapu and Hawlucha next. The seeds that go with the surges are also banned. So you can pick your Hawlucha, you just can't give it a seed with a Tapu.
Did we not ban Lando?
No, Lando's fine.
For Gen 5?
No. Like, you can pick it, but how much? It has a lot of counterplay to it.
You didn't because you don't love me enough, but
I mean, you can run Chandelure, you can run Terrakion in this meta.
There are some better mons.
There are good Pokemon in Gen 5. Gen 6, there aren't.
This sounds like a great meta. And this is just as a reminder for all of you at home who play in the Puckle tournaments. If you win this tournament, I'm just stating it now so people don't have to like ask me questions about it later. You get a copy of Pokemon Sword or Shield if you win this tournament. Second thing is, if you win this tournament, you also get automatic entry, if you've been following along with the Puckle League, into our final tournament of the year, which it comprises of people who do really well in the points. I think Rodden is in without even winning a tournament once.
Yeah, he's still at the top of the rankings.
Yeah, and so if you win that, you actually win a, I'm going to say Switch Lite now, because I said
you were asterisk, expecting it to come.
Asterisk cheapest Switch on the market.
You were expecting it.
So we all expected something to happen. So I put cheapest Switch on the market. And so you could win a Switch.
Honestly, it's not a bad idea, because at that point, everyone is going to have a Switch anyway. So having a Switch Lite. Yeah.
It'll have nice battery life.
Exactly. Exactly. So that is, that is exactly what we were thinking. That's where we're at with that. But let's talk about Porygon 2.
Yeah, this is just a nice Gen 2 Pokemon you can pick that isn't Tyranitar or Suicune.
Yeah, so we found a fun team. It is a Trick Room team. It is stupid fun because it's Trick Room. And Porygon 2 is an excellent Trick Room setter. It's got... We've picked up the Eviolite with Trace, 252 HP because he's a bulky boy. And we've spread out the defensive stats in 104 defense and 152 special defense. By no means is this standard, but you can go ahead and just do it however you want. Sassy nature, zero attack IV, so you don't take that foul play damage because you're a VGC player. And this is also an RU team, so their foul play is actually a legitimate threat. Recover, Trick Room, foul play because Porygon 2 does it. And Tri Attack. And so you're just like, man, I got a bulky boy. How else can I get bulkier? And the answer is Bronzong. because this is the RU tier. So we're just like Bronzong. And with leftovers, Levitate, 252 HP, 4 attack, 252 special defense, Sassy Nature once again, Stealth Rock, Trick Room, because you need multiple Trick Room setters in singles. Singles, you need, I think you need like half your team to have Trick Room to be viable.
Mm-mm.
And Gyro Ball and Psywave. And I'll let somebody else pick up two of these other guys.
Yeah, speaking of other Trick Room setters, we have Aromatisse with the ability.
And it's so cool!
I love it! It has Aroma Veil, max HP, max special attack, quiet nature. It's holding the Ferium Z. It also has zero attack EVs, although it's a fairy type. I mean, it's not going to take that much from foul play. Whatever, chip damage.
You want to minimize it.
So it has Trick Room, Nasty Plot, Moonblast, and Hidden Power Ground. Because essentially with that, you kill anything that isn't a Bronzong.
Yeah, Bronzong's scary.
Bronzong is scary. Bronzong's a huge threat in RU, actually.
Yeah.
So I've become better at doing these metas because we've started doing these Pokemon of the Episode segments with teams. And I've become just more aware of these metas and like what are big threats in each one. Which is good and bad because like they're gonna disappear in like 3 months, but it's been really interesting. But yeah, this thing's got Fire EMZ. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if your problem is Bronzong, guess what? You bring in Mega Camerupt. It has max HP, max special attack, quiet nature, and zero attack IVs, exactly like your Aromatisse, but it has Fire Blast, Earth Power, Toxic, and Hidden Power Eyes. This thing and is a wrecks in Trick Room.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
It's Mega Camerupt. It is terrifying.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Take us home, Sigma.
All right. So next up, we've got Machamp as our fighting type coverage. We have a Flame Orb with Guts, so we're going to be hitting really hard. Max HP, max attack, brave nature. I would assume it's zero speed. It doesn't say that on here. But
it should be zero speed.
Should be, yeah.
You're running Trick Room. That base 55 speed's not going to do it itself.
So we have Close Combat, Facade, Knock Off, and Bullet Punch. I think that's relatively a standard Machamp set.
That's pretty standard Machamp. Yeah.
Like, I could see it's standard Guts anyway.
Yeah, standard Guts. I agree with that.
And then for the last member, we have the most. It goes with the team.
Boy.
The most. The timid, max speed, max special attack, Scarf Shaman.
So it's got to go fast.
It's gotta go fast. It's Sonic.
He's Sonic.
He's a hedgehog.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, is shiny Shaman blue? Tell me it's blue.
It is blue. I think it's like a very light blue, like an aqua blue.
It's like aqua instead of grass green.
Okay, but like that's good enough for me.
It's close enough.
It's close enough that I would call that Sanic.
Yeah. Anyways, Healing Wish to heal up, say, your camera up if it's gotten a bit too injured or your Porygon too. Seed Flare because we're Shaman, Earth Power because we're Shaman, and Dazzling Gleam because I'm sure there's some kind of fairy type that we want to hit with that, or dark type. Probably Mandibuzz.
Dark type.
Probably Mandibuzz.
It's probably Mandibuzz.
Yeah, you want to catch it on the Switch.
Probably Mandibuzz. Yeah, it's. I mean, this team looks cool. We found it online on a sample team site, and we thought it looked really cool from a perspective. We also think that you can make a couple quick changes to this team for the Kanto versus the World Tournament, like just as like a little bit of an aside. We were looking at it and this already has like the versus the world side of this mostly down.
Yeah.
I think there are two problems with this team if you look so far to fit those criteria. One is we have two Gen 4 Pokemon and we have a Machamp.
Yeah, but you just switch out the Machamp for Conkeldurr essentially.
Yeah, so then we didn't have a Gen 5 Pokemon, so that fixes that. And then the other one is that you can replace Shaman for a Bulu,
and then
which would be really interesting.
Set.
And then you're set, and you've got a decent team. You could run Natural Gift on Camerupt to get some Grass type damage going.
Love it.
Nature Power. But yeah,
Nature Power. That's what I meant. There's like three of those that do things very similarly. It's like random type attack.
Yeah, they're all named the same too.
It's confusing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is a really interesting team. Also, if you want that shiny Porygon, we'll be giving it away if I catch up with all of the giveaways on the Patreon chat. This week, it's been a rough month, guys. That's just sleepy. We're gonna get there though. So, other than that though, that is it for the Pokemon of the episode. We are gonna kick everything over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 And as always, if I remember, the Green Tauros badge goes to the guy that wrote a cool email that we remembered. And I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? I don't actually know what it is anymore. We change your name green on the Discord server. It's fun. People like it. It's a good time. We should pick a more pleasing to the eyes green. But yes, moving on, this is the part of the show where we read listener emails. You can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll probably read your email on the show, unless there's like a ton of them. But we typically read every email on the show. If not, we put it in our unread emails section on our Discord server, where you guys can go ahead and read the ones that we didn't get to. But today, I think we're going to be able to get to all of them. It's been 2 weeks since we did a show, and we have asked you last time, what Galarian forms would you like to see? So let's just dive right on into this, because there's just a ton of goodness in these. So the first one's from Genevieve.
Yes. Hey there, guys and dolls and all. A little late to the party, I think, but I was so pumped to answer this question because I had an extremely powerful one that comes from the bottom of my rainbow and glitter-filled, ultra-fam, unicorn-loving heart. Oh, I feel you, sister. Ponyta/Rapidash as a proper heraldic-style unicorn. I'm including a fan art I came across a few months ago that made me go, oh my god, yes, please. And it's kind of doing the same thing to me, I have to say. It's...
Yeah... I've seen this art before as well.
It's delightful. To give you an idea of what I mean, but basically I think the last unicorn, except it looks like it can kick your rear. That's the only one I have a super strong feeling about, but Growlithe/Arcanine as a catalyst for a lean into the... What?
I don't know.
I think it's related to Kate's set.
Yeah, sure.
That it looks Gaelic. I can't pronounce Gaelic. I'm sorry.
I can't either.
/ various other regional names / fairy dog folklore of Great Britain would be fun and would parallel Alolan Vulpix / Ninetales nicely. I agree with all of that. Yeah, I know what that is. I just don't know how to pronounce it.
I was still disappointed we didn't get that rumored like water Arcanine and Sun.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just what it was, though, a rumor.
Exactly.
I know, but it sounded cooler than, you know, Arcanine.
Arcanine's always been cool, and really, I feel like Arcanine is like, if we're going to rank Pokemon in terms of popularity in the minds of Game Freak, I feel like it's B-tier Charizard.
Yeah.
That's what I think Arcanine is, and I feel like that's just, like, in their minds, that's, like, sacred, don't touch that, you know what I mean?
I mean, they touch Ninetales, which is maybe C tier Charizard.
Exactly. I think C tier is safe. C tier is where you go, yeah, let's touch it. Okay. B tier, you go, no.
So you know what's going to happen, right? Yeah. Like, they're gonna turn Snubbull and Grimmsnarl into this thing and disappoint us all.
I mean, we've seen regular Arcanine, which is a sad thing. Like, it dominated VGC 2017, which is why I'm surprised it's back. As is.
Well, we have a lot of like anti-intimidate stuff now.
Exactly.
Though. Hopefully it will work because it didn't really.
I hope it will work. I really hope we get some anti-intimidate stuff.
Yeah, they tried with like Defiant and stuff, and it didn't work at all. So
Intimidate's just one of those things that is just it's prevalent in the meta, and it's the reason Lando is good, and it's the reason Arcanine's good.
And it's the reason Incineroar is suddenly good. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, but Eve continues. Also, not exactly a Galarian form thing, but do y'all remember swarms back from Gen? I don't even know anymore. Oh, yeah.
There were several gens that actually did it. It was like Gen 4 that really hammered it in, but I think Gen 5
started
did it as
like,
well.
Gen 2, actually.
Gen 2.
Yeah. Gen 2 did it to an extent, yeah.
Gen 3 was big post-game wise, I think.
I'm a sucker for like dailies. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a sucker for that. And that's what I'm really excited about raids, because those are just dailies.
Yeah.
I do recall I was too young at the time to have any idea of how the community in general reacted to that mechanic. So maybe everyone hates it, but I vaguely recall enjoying it. Well, there is a bit of British myth called the Wild Hunt, a bunch of fairies roaming the countryside on the fairy equivalent of a fox hunt, that might potentially be a cool way to reintroduce that, probably primarily for catching fairy types. What do you think? And can you tell I like fairies? We can. And again, with you, sister. Hugs and high fives. Keep up the amazing podcast, Eve.
Okay, slight modification to this Rapidash. We've hung on to this email for far too long. But but there's slight modification. You give it wings.
Yeah, I want wings on my Rapidash.
And you make it a fairy flying type.
Yeah, I mean, this is some like... it's
the fairy fire type, and you give it a move called fairy fire, kind of like the D&D spell. Then you're done.
So will-o-wisp
kind of, yeah. Except it doesn't burn, it does damage, you know.
As long as
they make their spell save DC. All right, but moving on, this next one is from P. McGee. Hey, Buckle Crew, P. McGee here once again with some thoughts on what Pokemon would be best suited to receive Galarian evolutions. Since the suggestions of regional evolutions and what has appeared to be a highly accurate leak, I've been fascinated about what old Pokemon might get new evolutions with Obstagoon's announcement and Farfetch'd still sitting on the bench. I think we have enough information to start making some fun guesses on what evolutions might appear. For my predictions, I am abiding by the following rule set until proven otherwise. In order to have a Galarian evolution, the current form must already be a Galarian form. Yes, please.
Exactly.
As such, like, that has to happen. If that's not the case, I'm going to lose my mind. As such, the standard form of the Pokemon cannot already have been confirmed to appear in Galar. The Pokemon cannot have a Stage 2 evolution. The Pokemon that would evolve must not exceed 500 base stats or have a stat distribution that would make Eviolite overpowered. With all that in mind, and with a larger bias being towards generations 1 through 3, here are the 10 Pokemon I think that would be likely to get Galarian forms and evolutions. Farfetch'd, Fighting Flying Evo.
Yeah,
I'm thinking Steel. Steel Flying Farfetch'd Evo.
I can see them both.
Much more fun. Yeah. Dugong, Electric Ice Evo. I just think Electric Ice Dugong would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anything better for Dugong.
Anything that's not just Dugong.
It's such a boring Pokemon design.
Yes. Girafarig, Dark Psychic Evo.
Yeah.
That could be cool. Mm-hmm. I think just Dark Psychic Girafarig would be cool. Pseudo Wudo, Rock Grass Evo. Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Noctowl Ice Flying Evo. There's actually some really cool artwork of like somebody did fan art of like Galarian Noctowl with ice flying, and it looked really cool. Macargo Grass Rock Evo. I don't know. Its name's Macargo. Mm. It had to be just like pure fire or something. Entropius Grass Dragon Evo. I think that's too much. I liked your idea with the potatoes though, Sigma.
I mean, it did get a Dragon Hammer, so maybe.
Ooh, that's true. Chimico, Psychic Steel Evo.
It just becomes Jirachi, though, at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Krikatoon, Bug Steel Evo. I'm into it. Swanna, Fairy Water. I would be totally
so
into
it. I don't know
if it needs an Evo, but just Fairy Water would be cool.
I have a comment about all of these. Like, it never changes more than one type for all of these Pokemon.
I agree with you.
Which is it's not what Alolan Forms did.
No, that's true. Except for Rattata.
Yeah, and Executor. But I mean, they're more.
I think it's the vast majority of them had like a full type swap.
Yeah.
I agree with that though. I agree. Geodude only swapped. Yeah. There's precedent for both.
Ninetales was the main one that was like on all the
marketing.
And Sandshrew, Marowak. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see what happens with these. There are some ones that come to mind, at least. It would have been cool if James Turner revisited some of his Gen 5 designs, but Golurk and Vanillix are already confirmed to appear, and Mandibuzz would be horrifying with Eviolite. Are there some that you believe would be really good candidates for evolutions? I mean, other than the typical Pokemon that you think, like, yeah, that could use an Evo? I don't think so. Jinx, but they don't want to touch that again.
They're not touching that.
Do you think we will see any split evolutions wherein something like Galarian Koffing evolves into an entirely different Pokemon? I don't think that'll happen.
No.
I think if we see split evolutions, it's in the same generic way we see split evolutions.
I mean, I see split evolution as something like, you know, Alolan Raichu, nothing more.
Yeah, exactly. I would really enjoy if Game Freak stuck to the model they created with Obstagoon, but maybe people want to see Galarian evolutions go in different directions. I think that's the way I want them to keep to that. Like, it was a cool idea, and I can accept that as a fact. Like, Galarian forms can evolve, but I can't accept the fact that, like, Pokemon can just evolve in Galar because they're feeling like it, because they're there.
I mean, the Galar forms I want most are three-stage Pokemon already, because I want to see...
Yeah.
I want to see one for a pseudo-legend. That's what I want to see.
That would be really cool, actually. But I think most of the pseudo-legends have been confirmed.
There are four
other
still
than, like,
missing.
Dragonite.
Like, imagine trying to make Garchomp bad with an ice type or something.
That'd be cool. I'm into it. Anyways, thanks for your time and catch you on the flip-flop. All right, our next one is going to be from Show... Oh, no, that's not what
Bearded
it is.
Bearded Panda.
Bearded Panda, that's it.
How goes it, Thatch, and your amazing co-hosts? It's me, the Bearded Panda, a.k.a. the Bearded Pangoro. I'm writing in today to talk about some of the cool new Galarian forms. I really like the new Weezing and can't wait to use it on my playthrough of Sword and Shield. Also, Obstagoon looks really cool, and I agree, he does look like he's a member of KISS. I have a few favorites I would love to see get Galarian forms, like Arcanine becoming a fire electric type, or Donphan becoming a ground and steel type.
I see people say Arcanine all the time, and it makes me really upset, because like it's just like, Arcanine was already shown, though!
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great candidate for But
it is so people want it. People want it.
They just showed it in like the first trailer.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh, it's kind of like the Popish, but
mm-hmm.
Donphan would be cool. I'll give him that.
Donphan could be cool.
I also would love for my guy for Alligator to get some type of love, but I know they aren't going to touch the starters. What are some of your Pokemon you hope to get new form? Anyhow. Thank you so much for reading my email, and thank you guys for the hard work you put in to make Puckle one of the best communities ever. From the Bearded Panda.
We appreciate that.
That's
we
are a good cool question. Community.
I'd like the compliment more, but yeah.
I like both. Can I like both?
Yeah, you can like both. Pokemon you hope get a new form. Honestly, if we're talking about that, like I would love to see more like Gen... Like, we haven't seen a Gen 2 Galarian, but we've jumped to Gen 3, so like...
It should exist.
If we take a look at Gen 3 or Gen 2 mons, right? I think, like you said, Donphan's fantastic, but
Stantler.
I mean, Stantler could use a revisit, I think. I think that's also something that could happen, especially in an England type region.
Yeah.
Though so, Sawsbuck exists, which is the saddest
Sawsbuck
thing.
Sawsbuck exists, but he's in America. It's fine.
Sawsbuck is such Sawsbuck a better design. Sawsbuck is a deer. Stantler is a reindeer. So
give him a proper psychic typing, finally, you know?
Yeah, that would exactly. be nice. As for me, it's a very hard question because, you know, I would like to see, say, Dunsparce get some love, but Dunsparce is already perfect, so.
You know, there's like an army of people that disagree with you, but that's fine.
People have just been
asking for like a Dunsparce like Mega Evo since Mega Evo.
Oh, yeah, like, I know. I have one of those fan art somewhere. I love it, but I mean... If you give it a Galarian form, you're changing it. So...
Sunflora.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Sunflora would be a good one. Mm-hmm. Give it Grass Fire. Family. Grass Fire, yeah.
No. Grass Fire is, like, it's taken. It's going to be our jalapeno Pokemon.
I'm okay with Sunflora getting it. I'm willing to pass that torch quite literally to Sunflora. I'm willing to do it. That was a joke, and nobody laughed, and it was hilarious. but that is it from Bearded Panda. Unfortunately, we've been taking a really long time discussing these emails, so we're only going to have time for one more today. And it's going to be from Nate, N-A-T-E. I think we're going to give this one to you, Whimsicott.
All right. Okay, I've got it. Hello, it's me again. I came right in 2 weeks in a row, right? That's not taboo or anything. Oh boy.
Have you met Whimsicott's emails? She wrote in like every week for like 30 weeks.
That's the reason I'm here.
Essays.
Like 900 word essays.
That was only one email that went over 900 words.
Because we put the restriction on it afterwards.
It wasn't just my fault. Sublime contributed to that ban.
That's true.
Okay. Anyway. My last email was kind of a bummer. I'm actually looking forward to a lot of stuff in this game from the trailers and what it implies. To me, it looks like Sword and Shield is shaping up to be the perfect combination of Gens 3 and 5. Or the best Gens, as I like to call them. You know what? You're not wrong.
Oh! Okay.
I love them both a lot.
I'm gonna disagree a little bit, but I'm tainted by nostalgia. Nostalgic feelings.
I mean,
I do think, like I keep saying, and I'm going to say this until it becomes the lexicon of the entire Pokemon community, Gen 5's aged like wine.
Mm-mm.
Let me tell you, I stand by my theory that every Pokemon has like a waiting period that like 75% of the Pokemon community needs to associate it as a Pokemon. And that if you just go ahead and the only way to speed up that process is to put them with existing Pokemon.
Yes.
And if you go ahead and you just make a bunch of new Pokemon and you don't put them together with existing Pokemon, people don't like it. It hurts them. But now Gen 5 are just all existing Pokemon. So if you go back and play it, you feel good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I think I've said it before, but when I played Gen 5, it was like, what's this? And now it has, like, some of my favorite designs. Anyway.
Yes, you go ahead. Yeah.
From Gen 5, we're getting three distinct rivals with what appears to be interesting personalities. The perfect number of rivals. I would argue that's, like, one or two too many, but whatever.
Yeah.
We
could get rid of Hop, right? Like,
yeah, it's just How 2.0. You got Marnie as a competent trainer with some mystique and ties to the villain team, filling in the end spot. No, I'm sorry, that's an unfillable spot. But let's move on.
Wrong person reading this email.
I mean, exactly. I think she's going to probably be Ash's traveling companion, because how many times has he had the person with the Pikachu clone on his team?
Right.
Following him around.
I don't know. No, they might do something different where, like, they just have more encounters with her than typical. You know what I mean? Like,
we had Sophocles hang out with him.
Because we all know that TDL's not the real bad guys. They're just going to rehash the Gen 7 thing again, where TDL's not really the bad guys.
I mean, Team Skull was barely in the anime anyway.
They were. They set them up to do some cool stuff and then said, no, we're not doing anything with that.
Okay, we got Hop, who seemed like a nice person of journey of self-discovery in dealing with family baggage. His parents named him Hop, and his brother Leon. There's gotta be a little baggage. He's so right. Fill in the Bianca slot. And we got Bede, who I'm hoping is more blue than Sharon, but still fits the same slot. But see, that's my problem. I mean,
what if you had two kids and you named one of them like Matthew and then you named your second son Peanut Butter? Like, somebody's gonna be upset. Somebody's gotta be upset. And I'm gonna tell you, it's not Matthew. Like,
Hop's favorite Pokemon was Squirtle, but he wasn't allowed to have it because it would beat his brother. He had to be.
What if he has a Bulbasaur?
It's like Bulbasaur.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, see that's what I mean. I mean, I don't want to see the same type of character rehashed 7 or 8 times over. That's why Anne was such a great character. It had never been done before.
That's kind of true. That's kind of true.
Anyway. And we get Team Yell, representing some of my favorite aspects of Gen 3. But NATE, you might be asking. Team Yell isn't an environmentalist terrorist group that doesn't understand the water cycle. How can that be from Gen 3? Because they're not a terrorist group. They're a fan club.
Even worse.
One of the moments that stuck with 8-year-old me playing Ruby was when you first show up in Lilikov, there is a house where everyone is talking about their favorite trainers. Most are gym leaders, but in the back there's this group talking about a rising star trainer who is taking out gyms left and right. After you beat the Elite Four and come back, everyone there is super excited to see you and instantly forms a fan club around you. And this made me realize how much of a celebrity May/Brandon was. You get a fan club! Mr. Rydell uses you for free advertising, and Gabby and Ty are always looking for an exhibition match and interview. With the Galar Pokemon League being televised and their champion being a walking billboard, I'm hoping trainers get a bit more of the celebrity treatment. Maybe whatever the main hub town in the game has a Pokemon fan club that slowly becomes more dedicated to you as the game goes on.
Maybe. You get your own Team Yell.
Exactly.
I'm still kind of hoping you get to watch your friends who are online do their gym battles.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really cool. That would be amazing. I don't know.
That really seems like a little much for them, but...
I know we've been like kind of semi-negative about this game. Because of the National Dex thing, but like this game is shaping up to like have some of the most immersion, I think, out of any Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I am very excited for that immersion.
Yeah. And maybe some NPC wears whatever outfit you're wearing, or has a jersey with your number on it. Maybe some little girl as a stuffed plushie of your starter. I mean, we, the protagonists, are going to end up as the strongest, most important, hottest trainer in the region. That's just how Pokemon goes. Long story short, I want my own Team Yell. Thank you for the wonderful podcast, NATE.
All right. And unfortunately, we spent too much time because you guys sent in good emails. So blame the people who sent in good emails. We're not going to have time to be able to get to the rest of your emails, or we're going to have a 45-minute mailbag segment. but thank you to the other people. We're going to put them in the unread email section. And we really appreciate you guys sending them in. Any of these guys that you really liked particularly? I thought they were all really good this week, actually.
Yeah, they were.
They kind of were.
I don't know.
They're all really good. Then
nobody gets it. That's the way it is. You all tied. You can't. Nobody wins.
Ooh, try again, please. They were really good.
Try again. Yeah,
yeah,
try again.
They were all good.
All right.
It's just a ploy to get you to send in more emails because we enjoyed them so much.
Those were really good. We're going to go ahead and if you want to email us next week at FunkoPodcast@gmail.com, you can email us letting us know what you think about the new abilities that we got revealed or what some kind of new ability you would like to see added to Pokemon Sword and Shield. Send those emails in to FunkoPodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to keep up with us, check out our social media on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit. Kind of. I guess we have a Reddit. And then also Instagram. We're at Puckle Podcast at all those places. And join us throughout the week. Hang out with us. We're going to be on our Discord server where we have the invite link in the description. We also always have the Twitch, twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And now that my work life is starting to be a little less hectic, we're going to try to finish up that Nuzlocke this week. So definitely head on over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. Also subscribe to our YouTube. We're like 30 subs away from 1,000.
Oh, only 18 and, last I checked.
Oh, really? 18? Yeah, never mind. I'm a liar.
There are videos coming very, very soon.
There are some videos coming there, and if we hit 1,000, we're working on some like other smaller, well, probably a bigger project that I think everybody might enjoy. So if you hit 1,000, you got to hit 1,000 first though. So go get 18 friends to make YouTube accounts and help us break 1,000. And then we're going to keep doing the Nuzlocke over there, too. The Nuzlocke just hit it off way better than I thought it would ever.
Mm-hmm.
So good for everybody that's willing to go out there and watch me play Pokemon. And we are going to, after this one, we're going to be doing a black or white 2 Nuzlocke. It depends on which save I want to save better for myself. Because
mm-hmm.
I think I have one that I like really did a lot of, like, not Join Avenue. What was it called? What avenue was it? There's the avenue that you could fill out though in black
it
and white too.
Join Avenue, I think.
I think it's Join. Was it called Join Avenue?
Is it Join? Oh, it was Join Avenue. Yeah, Join Avenue. I like fleshed it out, and I don't know that I want to kill that accomplishment.
You know,
for
good Festival Plaza.
That was good Festival Plaza. Let me tell you. So we're gonna do one of those two versions though, and I'm really excited to do that with you guys. And we'll hype it up, and we'll get a date set for that launch and everything, so you guys can be a part of a Nuzlocke from the get go this time. But yeah, also, if you want to hang out with us even more and just help support the show, you can go and do a couple of things. The first is you can go over to our T Public store and buy some cool Puckle merch like a phone case, Sigma ones, or a throw pillow, which I really like, or a tapestry, which is something that Seth really likes. And you guys can go over there to a Puckle T Public store. Again, the link is in the show notes, as always. And you can finally support the show most directly by going to patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can get things like shiny Pokemon, physical badges for the Summer League. And I need to start doing these again, but you can be on the Puckle Live Show, depending on what tier you jump into. So jump on to those, and we're gonna be having some really good Puckly times. But yeah, I guess that's everything. So here in the Lavendertown Radio Tower, I am Trainer Thatch.
I am the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
I'm Sigma.
And it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.